At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Over the past week or so, people have flocked to the beaches to enjoy the heat wave. But in that same period of time, 7 people have drowned in this country. But many such deaths don't occur in salt water. John Leach is CEO of Water Safety Ireland. He joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me on air with you and your listeners to try and raise the awareness of water safety and its importance in keeping our families and ourselves safe. I have a little bit more bad news for you. That number has now gone to 8, with a further 9 person in serious condition in hospital. So it really is by far the worst week we've had since 2013, when we lost 13 people in 14 days in the month of July. So it's really been a dreadful week for water safety, and one that we must try and address to reduce these preventable drownings.
On average, John, how many people would drown every year in Ireland?
Our 10-year average is 115 at the moment, and that has improved. To put that in perspective, 20 years ago when I came into this job, it was 190. So we're making progress, and we're actually doing well, but this has just been a dreadful, dreadful week.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, the drownings are slowly but surely going down, and that really is good, because we have educational programs in the primary school, in the preschools, in the creches, in the secondary schools, and in the universities and ITs. So, we it's really through education. You save the greatest number of people through prevention, not through rescue or not through treatment. And so that's really what we have to keep on working at.
And on that point, because I suppose if someone has never witnessed a drowning or hopefully a near drowning, you have this kind of Hollywood idea that the person starts flailing their arms and legs and it's all very noisy and people can go and rescue them. That apparently isn't really the case.
No, far from it. Drowning by its nature is very silent, unfortunately. And I mean, there's quite a lot of CCTV footage around it, both in pools and in lakes particularly, where, you know, there are people all around the person drowning and they don't see it, because the person is just using their hands and their feet to try and keep their head above the water. They're unable to speak. They're unable to make any calls for help. And unfortunately, that's how silent it is. And it is, of course, very, very fast, particularly with children. And so you don't get much notice. And that's why for the lifeguards who are on duty all around the country at the moment, it's actually quite a stressful job, because you're out there with the numbers, because we're having huge numbers. I mean, like never seen before, thousands of people on beaches at the moment. And it's very difficult for them to maintain their monitoring. They're looking out for the signs of drowning, which are not as spectacular as you've well described through the Hollywood movies and things. It's just not like that. And so they've got to be very, very vigilant and very astute to spot the people beginning to get in distress. Because, I mean, the most important law, if you like, for lifeguards is don't get wet. In other words, try and avoid, advise the people, use your voice before you'd have to actually get into the water. But over the last week, there's been a lot of rescues, wet rescues, as we refer to them, or rescues with them using craft.
Yeah, now, and actually, because somebody did, just before we came on air, somebody tweeted about bringing inflatables to beaches, the sort of things that really would be better seen in a swimming pool. Is that a factor there, John, in that people maybe get a bit too brave, or they're swept out?
Yeah, so, okay, with this particular week, no, inflatables didn't, if you like, contribute to the drownings. But last year we lost 2 people. Using inflatable toys. Inflatable toys, our temperate climate just simply is not conducive to using them in open water. They're fine on the continent, where you have very predictable winds and light winds and virtually always onshore. So the inflatable toys have been blown onshore, so there is no risk to the children using them there. But as you know, our wind, both in speed and in direction, can change in minutes, 180 degrees in literally minutes. And so that's why they simply are not suitable for our island nation on the Atlantic here. And even if we don't have wind, like for instance on Saturday we had a full moon, so we had spring tides. So we've got amongst the strongest tidal streams in the world. And so even if it was flat calm, the tidal stream will pull them out. And we got a lot of rip currents on our beaches, you know, because of the surf, again, because we're out in the Atlantic, we're not in the Mediterranean or in the Baltic, where you've got different tides altogether called diurnal tides. And so they're just not suitable. And Waterford County Council and Clare County Council have already banned them. And I'm now learning, getting more word from around the country that other local authorities are going to do the same, because they are preventable drownings, and they can lead to really awful tragedies where you get a double drowning. So the child is out in the inflatable, and then either the sibling or mum or dad then tries to rescue them when they jump in off the inflatable toy in panic. And then you end up with double drowning. And that regrettably has happened in the past. And we really don't want to see that sort of thing happening again.
Well, indeed. Now you did mention rip currents. And even for people who are swimming, as I understand it, the difficulty is not that you're pulled under the water, but you're just suddenly, unexpectedly swept much further from the beach than you expected.
Yeah, that's right, Sean. So the rip currents, surfers love them. Surfers use them to get out of the boards, to get out beyond the surf, to come back in again. The way you recognize them, obviously, well, if you go to a lifeguard at beach, it won't be an issue, because our lifeguards will have the red and yellow flags away from the rip currents to try and get people to swim in the safer water. But if you go to a beach that's not lifeguarded, how you recognize them is you'd look for the surf where the surf is at its greatest. And normally in between that surf, you'll see green water, you know, and that's where the water is running back out like a little river at right angles from the beach. And very often people tend to get lulled into the green water because, oh, it's not going to splash me. It's not that big surf going to splash all over me. And they tend to go out in these rip currents, not realizing how dangerous they are. So if you ever get caught in one, and people do, just simply swim parallel to the shore and you'll come out of the rip current, and then you can swim back in again in the surf.
Yes. Now, I mean, we have been talking about the sea, but is still water, or non-salt water, if you like, inland waterways, are they just as dangerous?
In fact, it's more dangerous, Sean. 62% of all people who drown in Ireland will drown in fresh water. Lakes and rivers, quarries and reservoirs are the main areas where people drown. Rivers account for more drowning fatalities than any other watercourse in the inland waterways, 37%. So you've got to be very, very careful swimming in fresh water, because it's because of the visibility. You can't see the bottom normally, and you can't see if the bottom is going to have a sudden drop. And very often people will be swimming within their depth, and then they swim out, get a cramp or get dizzy, feel sick, feel unwell. And then they try and lower their feet where they thought they were still within their depth, but they're not. So we recommend that if you're going to swim in these areas, swim in areas where there's good local knowledge to support that these are relatively safe places for swimming, known as traditional bathing areas really around the country, mm-hmm. where you can have a shallow shelving beach, riverbank or lakeshore, where you can walk out, wade out. And then when you're sort of before your chest high, then swim within your depth parallel to the riverbank or to the lakeshore or to the beach. And then you stay within your depth, because then if you do feel unwell or you get cramp, you can just lower your legs and walk back ashore. But regrettably, some people don't. They get out of their depth. And we recommend anybody who's swimming out of their depth nowadays to use the tow floats. They are very inexpensive. And I mean, they can save your life. If you are like a lot of the seasonal swimmers will use them because they realize how valuable they are to them if they do get into difficulty. And so basically you just hold on to your tow float until your cramp passes, your dizziness passes, and then you can swim back ashore again. Or if your buddies are with you, they'll simply tow you back ashore. So we really recommend the use of tow floats for the open water swimmers, which of course has seen a huge explosion in interest. Even pre-pandemic, but particularly during the pandemic when the pools closed, people said, where am I going to swim? I'm going to swim my nearest water course, be it a river, be it a lake, and be it the sea. And we do welcome that, but we just want people to do it in a safe manner.
Mm. Now, describe what a tow float looks like.
Oh, tow float. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, if people ever watched Baywatch, you might remember they used torpedo floats. But a tow float is very similar. except that it's you inflate it with your mouth. It's just soft, fabric, and you just blow it up. It normally gives you between 50 to 80 newtons of positive buoyancy. In other words, that's enough to support the average human being in the water. And you just hold on to it. It's brightly colored, normally pink, or it's bright yellow, orange color, so that it'll be seen in poor visibility. And they're really, really good for when people are swimming near piers and harbors where other boat users are. Because what happens is when you're swimming with it, it kind of makes this jerky movement. And for mariners who are in a boat and they're looking out for swimmers, it's very difficult to see a swimmer without a tow float, because even with a high-vis head cap, a swim cap, in certain light and a certain sea state, you simply can't see them. Whilst you will see the movement, the little bobbing movement of the tow float. And that's why we really recommend them. Anybody is swimming anywhere near other craft, because it means that other mariners will see you and will be able to keep clear of you.
Yeah. Can alcohol be a factor?
Oh, God, unfortunately, yes, Sean. Yeah. Probably a third of all drowning victims in Ireland will have consumed alcohol. So, as you know, people who have a few jars on, they would take on things and do things that they would never do when they're sober. And so it does add to, it's a contributing factor to drowning. The most important factor that contributes to most, or the greatest causation for drowning in our temperate climate, is actually the cold shock. You know, where you get that rapid breathing, you sort of go as you hit the cold water, and your heart rate goes up, and you're feeling sort of pretty unwell, let's be honest. Unfortunately, you can inhale water at that stage, and that commences the whole process of drowning, the inhalation of water when you're immersed in the water. So that's a very important one. But yes, the alcohol also would be next. Cold water shock followed by alcohol are the biggest significant drowning contributors in our temperate climate.
And would it be the case that sadly far more men, well, not sadly if anyone drowns, but it's far more men than women drown?
Yes, yeah, and that's, as well as being in Ireland, that would also be internationally. So it's somewhere between 75% and 80% of males drown, and the remainder would be female. And that's just really, we feel it's an attitudinal problem. It's because their attitude and their behavior around water is dangerous, and hence why they end up drowning. It can be for a variety of reasons. Normally, it can be due to ignorance, it can be due to arrogance, like a poor water safety understanding. And very often they believe that their ability is way higher than what it really is in the hazardous situation that they're maybe swimming in or boating in or kayaking in or whatever they're up to.
Finally, John, one of our listeners has a question for you. Can you ask if it's true that your backstroke is the way to swim if you're in trouble and out of your depth?
The backstroke is a very good stroke, yeah, for people. That is very true. But I think the first thing you would do if you ever get in trouble in water is simply just to float for a while and just tread water very gently until you get your bearings. Because very often when you're not feeling well like that, you lose your bearings as well. And you literally forget which direction the shore is in. So it's the most important thing to do when you feel unwell is just to float in the water. Or if you fall into water, just float there for a little while. Get your bearings. Okay, I'm in the water here. I'm okay. So I'm going to be able to get myself out of trouble by swimming in that direction, the closest distance back ashore. And that's really very important. But yes, the backstroke is a very good stroke. It's a very important life-saving stroke as well, of course, and side stroke. Those side strokes, backstrokes, they are good strokes for when you're not feeling well. That's a pretty reasonable, that's a good question to ask.
John, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was John Leach there, CEO of Water Safety Ireland. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break after that. How animal welfare is under physical threat.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.